This message that I'm going to share with you this morning came from a discussion that I had with a dear friend of mine, Pastor Bob Lewis. Some of you know Pastor Lewis, but he was in the store, and ever since I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, he'd come by and he would pray with me and talk with me and encourage me. And then when I decided to have surgery this past September, he came by one day and said, "I just wanted to let you know that the Lord put you on my heart and I wanted to pray with you." And he'd been a real friend to me and a real encouragement. But the other day, a few weeks back, he was in the store and we were talking about different things. We were talking about the shape of our country. We were talking about the shape of our society and everything that's going on in our country and our society. And the words came up that it was broken and twisted and marred. Now, that's a word that you don't hear too often anymore. It's a word that's used, but you don't hear it too much. And then this began to be a thought in my mind. It's sort of like a tree. How many of you have ever seen an old, ugly, twisted tree? I mean, it's not anything pleasant to look at. And really, it's nothing appealing about it, nothing that you would want. But when springtime comes around and it blooms, it's a beautiful. And it is beautiful. It just takes your vision and your sight away from that ugly, twisted mess. And it shows you God's handiwork and beauty. So with that this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to Jeremiah chapter number 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. This portion of scripture in verse number 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts, thankful hearts that we're able to assemble this morning. We pray for those who would like to be here this morning who cannot. We pray for our country this morning, Lord. We pray that you would send revival. But Lord, revival starts in the house of God. So I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that you'd speak to mine. And Lord, you know exactly what's on my heart this morning. I believe with all that's within me that you put this on my heart and my mind. So I pray that I would say it in such a way that would bring honor and glory to you. I pray for anyone here that's not saved, that this would be the day that they trust Christ. Maybe someone listening online that's never trusted Christ, I pray today that they would make him Lord and Master of their life. Bless this time, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The word marred, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's not a word that's used a lot, but it means a flaw that makes something less than perfect, to harm, to damage, to impair, or to ruin. Now, the potter here, you know, if you and I were to look at that, probably that vessel that he might have been making, it might have looked okay to us. But to the potter, he knew what was going on with that, and he knew there was a flaw in it. He knew there was something as an imperfection in it. And the Lord knows this morning our flaws. He knows this morning that we're marred. He knows there's things in our life this morning that have done harm to us, have done damage to us. He knows there's some people here this morning that you may feel like your life is in ruin. But that's what sin does. Sin mars. I'm going to share with you this morning some things that some people here know, but the majority of you do not know. I'm going to give you my testimony this morning. I have struggled with this, and there's some things that I don't want to go into detail on, but I want to show you and tell you this morning that we never know what someone sitting around us or someone that we come in contact on a weekly basis or a daily basis may be going through, what they faced in their life. I grew up in a marred home. I had an abusive dad. I don't say these things this morning to disgrace my dad. I say these things this morning to tell you of what God can do. My dad was abusive, not only in word, but also physically. I grew up in a physically abused home. He was not only abusive to me in word and physically, he was abusive to my mother in word and physically. I have actually pulled my dad off of my mother and him turn on me. It would be like a light switch. He would be fine. Everything would be going well. And then it was like a light switch that flipped. He had a violent temper. And when he became violent, he became violent. I've seen my mother hide things. I've seen her hide utensils, knives, ammo, because she was afraid to lay down and go to sleep. I used to think, what made him this way? What in the world made him this way? My dad grew up without a father figure in his home. My grandfather left my dad and his family when they were very young. My grandfather would be classified as a drunkard. He was a womanizer. My grandfather served time in prison for shooting a man over a woman. My grandfather lived up to his name. My grandfather's name was Jesse James Cavanaugh. Yeah. He had a brother named Frank also. Isn't that ironic? I didn't know my grandfather. He died when I was very young. I do remember visiting the funeral home and seeing him. And I remember he had a tremendous nose on his face. It's kind of a cavernous inheritance. I've heard my mother talk about my grandfather threatening my dad. As I got older, especially in my teen years, I got bitter. I really got bitter. At one point, I even hated my father. I hated him. I couldn't stand to be around him. I was headed for some real trouble in my life. I knew that. I knew that, but I didn't care. I believed in God. I believed that there was a hell. But I was at a point in my life to where I really didn't care about anything except myself and getting away from home. My life was an absolute mess. Then one day, I had just purchased a new motorcycle. And I was out riding it around and happened to be on Pepys Ferry Road here. How I ended up on Pepys Ferry Road is still to this day a mystery to me. But it's not really a mystery. I believe God put me on that road. I was riding my motorcycle and I went down by the church here and the school and I noticed that someone was sitting out on the steps over here. And I thought, that looks like Vicky Rose. So I went down, turned around, and I came back, pulled in, took my helmet off, and she said, "Randall." So we talked a little bit. And she said, "Vicki and I went to school, grade school together, third, fourth grade, part of the fifth grade, I believe. She left, her parents moved. But in the third and fourth grade, we would actually stand before our class in the third and fourth grade and sing together. And we would sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain, that Jesus Christ is born." Now, third and fourth grade, you know, but we did. So we began to talk, and I said, "Well, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, I got sick, and I couldn't go on my senior trip." So we started talking, you know, and I thought, my, she's far from the third grader than fourth grader that I remembered. And in the third and fourth grade, she was kind of cross-eyed. And she wasn't cross-eyed anymore. And I thought, my, she is a pretty young lady. So I called her some, and first thing she did was invite me to come to church. And I remember coming and sitting there where Brother Bill was at with her parents and her. And really, for the first time in my life, I heard a clear-cut presentation of the gospel. That Jesus loved me, that He cared for me. Well, a few weeks later, I made a profession. See, I made a profession. I didn't have a possession. You say, "Well, why did you do that?" I just wanted to be accepted. I wanted them to like me. I wanted people to accept me for who I was and loved and all of this. You understand what I'm saying? For 10 years, folks, I sat on a church pew lost. But oh, I bless the day when the Lord spoke to me. And I realized that I thought, I don't want these people to think that, you know, I don't want them to, you know, pride. What will they think? What will they, I was married and we had children and, you know, I was doing things in the church. But I knew. That I was lost and on my way to hell. I knew that. But I wouldn't do anything about it. We had met over in the... You had to understand, this is before all the remodeling. We had met over one night with the pastor and at that time, Brother Guzman. And we were getting ready to have a revival. And we were meeting over there to deal with people and, you know, how to deal with people and when they come forward. And the longer that I was sitting there, the more that I understood, how can you do this? How can you do this? How can you tell someone else when you're not even saved yourself? So right in the middle of it, I got up. I walked up to Pastor, and I said, I need to be saved. So he took me out in the hallway. I knew exactly what I needed to do. I knew the words. I knew the scripture. So I bowed my head and my heart and asked Jesus to save me. After that, my relationship with my dad was still not very good up until that point. It was not good at all. But I knew that it was not right for me to have those feelings in my heart and my life toward my dad. I knew that. Jesus had forgiven me. I needed to forgive him. I started talking. I would go visit with him, and it was a struggle. He would say things to me, and, oh, you're in that group at once saved and always saved. And he would make fun, and I would get upset, and I would leave. But I just kept going back, and I just kept going back, and I just kept going back. And little by little, I started to see some things. And I said, Dad, why don't you come to church with me some Sunday? I don't know. One Sunday morning, my mom and my dad showed up here at church. And just a few weeks later, I had the opportunity to watch my mom and dad walk down that aisle there and give their heart to Jesus. My relationship with my dad changed. I saw God take a man that was so abusive, so violent in his temper, and I saw God transform that man into someone that something that was beautiful. We would sit and talk for hours. At that point in time in my dad's life, just a few months later, my dad had like 7 heart attacks before the Lord took him home. And I would go up on Friday evenings and Friday nights, and he would be in a hospital bed. And my mother would come to town to get groceries and such, and I'd always take him Long John Silver's because he loved that. You know, it was not good for your heart, but he loved it. And so I would sit there beside that bed, and I would talk with him, laugh with him, cry with him. And I cannot tell you how many times in my dad's life, before he went home to be with the Lord, how many times in that short period, he would say, I am so, so sorry. I've heard him apologize to my mother so, so many times. And then he would apologize to me, and I'd say, Dad, it's under the blood. Christ forgive you for that. Don't bring it up. But that's what we do. You see, there's things in our life that mar us and things that, and, you know, we try to keep it a secret, and but Satan keeps bringing it up and over and over and over again to us. We had some really good times together. And my dad was ready to go home to be with the Lord. But I've seen some things that no child, no grown-up should ever see. So you don't know this morning of the person that you're sitting beside of what they're going through. You don't know the person that you meet this next week, if the Lord tarries, he's coming, what they may be going through. You say, well, you shouldn't tell those things about your dad. If my dad was here this morning, I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind that He'd give His blessings on this. That what God can do with a man that is so stooped in sin and hatred and violence, what God can do with that person. I watched it. I watched it firsthand of what God can do. I experienced it in my life of what God can do when you truly turn things over to Him and say, Lord, I can't handle this on my own, but I know You can. And Lord, I know that I'm just a piece of clay, but I know You're the potter. And I know You could take that piece of clay that looks ugly and twisted, and You can make something beautiful out of it. I cannot explain to you, and I cannot tell you this morning of how good God's been to me. To come from where I came from and go through what I've been through, there is no doubt in my mind, not a shadow of doubt in my mind, that God put me on this road out here that day. And God allowed my dear wife not to be able to go on that trip. And God allowed me to put me in this place so I could hear the gospel. Now, it took me a while. I played church. But I'll tell you this morning, folks, even now, just a few short while, I'll be 64 years old. I still to this day, it'll stick its old ugly head up, and depression will come. And a sense of loneliness will come. I've had people say, well, you look like you're mad at the world. That's not by choice. When you grow up in that kind of environment, you basically do get mad at the world. I have to watch my temper. I have to watch my thought process. Because if I'm not careful, Satan will raise his old ugly head and he'll start whispering in my ear. I deal with it just about on a daily basis. And my wife will tell you, there's times when I feel I don't want to be around people. There's times when I feel like I don't want to talk to anyone. But one day all that will be made new. One day I'll step over into the portals of glory and I'll see my dad once again. I'm looking forward to that day. God doesn't throw the clay away. I'm glad for that this morning. The Lord had sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house for an object lesson. You see, we remember what we see. And as that potter was taking that piece of clay and he was working with it and put it on the table, and as he was working with it and molding it and trying to make it into something that was fit for the potter, he noticed a flaw in it. But the potter didn't take the clay and pitch it out the door. He started over again. That's what the Lord does with us. Over and over and over and over again. The flaws, the imperfections, everything in our life, He starts over again. And I bless the day that He didn't throw me away. You may be here this morning. You say, Randall, is that it? That's it. You say, Randall, do you think you really should have? You don't know how I struggle with this. But I wanted you to know. And you may be here this morning. You may be listening online this morning. And you feel like your life is ugly and twisted and marred and it's just distorted. And nobody else knows anything about that. But you do. But there's an answer. Maybe you need to forgive someone. Maybe someone has hurt you. Maybe someone has done something to you. As terrible as it might be, as bad as it might be. And yes, you feel bad about it. But that's not what Christ commands us to do. He tells us to forgive. Now, we can't forget, but thank God He can. He takes our sins. And by the way, He took all of our sins. And let me say this morning. When Christ came into this world, He came into an ugly and twisted and marred world. And sin is ugly. It's twisted. It's marred. It's distorted. And that's what it does to lives. But He came anyway. Why did He do that? Because He loves us. For God so loved the world that what? He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think about what God did for you this morning. Think about my sins, my dad's sins, my grandfather's sins, all of my family's sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world. All of that was put on Christ. But He did it willfully. For you and for me and the whole world. Young people, Satan wants, Brother Johnny said this so very well the other week, Satan wants nothing more than to destroy your young lives. And he'll do anything he can to do that. He'll tell you that your parents are out of touch. They don't understand. And if you're not careful, he'll put you in situations and positions, if you're not careful, will ruin your life. Had God not intervened in my life, I would probably be in hell today. But oh, I thank you to His mercy and His love and His grace for me. He has blessed me beyond measure. I've had people say, well, you got married awful young. I did. Wouldn't recommend it for everybody. Well, you missed out on a lot. I didn't miss out on anything, folks. I missed out on a lot of heartache. I missed out on a lot of things that would have destroyed my life and probably took me to hell. I didn't miss out on anything. Well, you didn't get a... My dad had a fifth grade education. Fifth grade. He had to. Because of my grandfather leaving them, my dad was the only boy in the family and he had to go to work. But my dad taught himself. Wasn't much my dad couldn't do. Not because he's my dad, but he's one of the best heavy equipment operators I've ever been around. He could take a shovel, a bulldozer, he could do anything with it. Had people say, well, the Lord's been good to me. I haven't gone without. He's blessed me with a wonderful wife, two wonderful children, 13 grandchildren. Both of my children are in church and love the Lord and saved and on their way to heaven. My grandchildren, those that are older and said they're saved. I have a granddaughter in Christian college, my oldest granddaughter. I'm not here bragging. I'm bragging on the Lord this morning. I'm telling you what He's done for me. And I'm telling you this morning what He can do for you. Don't let Satan, don't let him defeat you this morning. No one else needs to know what's going on. God already knows what's going on in your life. Turn it over to Him. You say, I just can't forgive that person. You can't, but with God's help you can. Where are you at this morning? I've shared with you some of the deep, dark secrets of my life that I live with. But I can tell you what God can do that no man can do. You say, well, was your dad a... I never saw my dad take a drink. Never. Wasn't allowed around us. Never saw him take a drink. I'm not saying that he didn't, but he would not allow it. Good moral man, provided for us. But he struggled. And he struggled. And I have struggled and still struggle. My dear mother is 90 years old. She had a hard time forgiving my dad. But she did. And they had a wonderful life the last few years that he lived. Don't let hate and bitterness, don't let it defeat you this morning. Those that may be listening online, don't let it do it. Don't let it take that away from you this morning. It'll destroy you. You say, well, I've got some secrets in my life that nobody knows about. Don't need about anybody else doesn't need to know about them. God already knows. You may be struggling this morning. Why don't you come and give it to the Lord? You know better now how to pray for me. My dear wife has been so patient with me through the years. 45 to be exact. She's loved me in spite of myself. Thanks be to God. We're getting ready to go into the Christmas season. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He said in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It says in 2 Corinthians, today is the day of salvation. If you're not saved today, you know that. Don't play church any longer. If you're struggling with some things in your life or you're questioning God, Miss Patty, I question God. Why did you just give me just a few years with my dad? After he was saved, why did you just give me just such a short period of time? But then the Lord reminded me what he did for him before he took him. And I can remember, and I hold on to those wonderful, wonderful times in my life. God can change anyone. Makes no fall how far you've stooped into sin, no matter how distorted and twisted and marred you may feel like you are, God can change you. I'm a living testimony of that. My dad was a living testimony of that.